I have for you today, Going Beyond the Door. When I was a child, I used to look forward to watching the Peanuts specials on TV. There was one for Valentine's Day, The Great Pumpkin, and also a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. In each of these stories, at one point, Lucy offers to hold a football for Charlie to kick. Charlie knows that she will likely pull the football away, but each time she manages to convince Charlie to trust her just one more time. Poor, gullible Charlie yet again ends up flat on his back. And I am sure you remember playing the trust game as a child or as an adult in a team-building exercise. This game or activity was meant to challenge how much we trusted our friends or coworkers. You would stand with your back to your friends, cross your arms in front of you, close your eyes, and then just fall back. And your friends caught you, or at least you hoped they did. What an act of trust. And you did this because you had faith in your friends, faith that they wouldn't let you down, figuratively or literally. We know that humans are fallible, and whether it be intentional or accidental, there will be times that our trust or faith in them may be misplaced. Well, do you think you would have enough trust and faith in a friend to accept a trip for a ticket for a trip, without knowing where you were going? Just be willing to get on board, knowing that your friend wants the best for you. Just head out, believing and knowing it is going to be a good journey and a feeling of assurance that when you arrive, it will be at a good place. I feel like I have had this experience this past year, and it was okay to trust this friend in this experience because I know that I could drop back into his arms and he would never let me fall. He can be trusted at all times, in all ways. This friend is Jesus. I haven't yet concluded my trip. I am still enjoying the journey. Today I would like to share with you some of the sights I have seen so far along the way. First, may I tell you a little of my backstory? I grew up attending a small country church, the Church of the Nazarene, located in Orkney, Ontario. For those of you that don't know where Orkney is, it is a suburb of Linden. Now most of you might know how small I am talking about. I had a mother who lived and breathed her faith and wanted the same for her children. I had a father that I believe did have a relationship with God, but because of experiences he had as a child, did not want to be part of organized religion. Therefore, we were permitted to attend Sunday school with our mother, but he always wanted us home right after, so we did not attend church. The design of the church was such that the Sunday school was held in the basement, and as you went to leave, the exit door was to your left, and up a short flight of steps to your right was a sanctuary. There were closed swing doors at the top of the stairs. They were most likely a practical way to keep the winter cold out, but to this child's mind, they were the doors that led to God's house. Sunday school left me with a wonderful, heartwarming images of a loving Jesus, with children on his lap, healing the sick, and being a friend to all. But at the top of those stairs, beyond those swing doors, in God's house, was the one that would decide if I went to heaven or hell. And I was often worried that if I didn't measure up, I would be heading to a place that scared me. That God was a mysterious God, not a personal friend. I wonder if this is how the Israelites felt as they approached the Holy of Holies. God was beyond the veil, but not to be approached. Did they feel that he was only a God of judgment? As I grew up, I came to know that it was God's great love for me, for us all, that allowed him to send his precious son to earth. It was because of that great love that Jesus consented to take the sins of the world, my sins, on his shoulders, and to provide a way to everlasting life with him in heaven. And even though the image I had of God had changed, there still remained concerns or doubts as to whether I always measured up. And I am ashamed to say that sometimes I looked at others with the same question. It all seemed very complex and complicated. How did the worldview align with what I felt was necessary to call myself a Christian? What was allowable? What was not? Surely there had been changes through the years. I sometimes play cards, usually on a rainy camping afternoon. But there was a time that when this was considered a sin. And what about alcohol? On occasion, with a well-prepared meal, I do enjoy a glass of wine along with it. There were times when I felt I needed to hide this from my Christian friends, not because I feared their judgment, but because I was concerned that it meant I just didn't measure up with God. Well, through this journey that I have been on this year, the complexity of it all has been simplified and the condemnation nullified. God has been speaking to me through his word, through the sermons, through discussions at TalkBack, through Christian literature, and through time spent with him in prayer. I am so grateful to the Holy Spirit for convicting me and teaching me. I hope that I can be clear in sharing with you what has become clearer to me. What a difference Jesus made to the world. This is quite the understatement. I think of the Jews in Jesus' day and earlier. They must have felt condemnation all of the time. Not only were there the Mosaic laws for them to follow, but also all of the laws designed by the Pharisees, the scholars of the law, to keep them from breaking the unforgivable laws. For example, the fourth commandment states to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Pharisees added 39 regulations that the faithful were expected to follow to ensure that this commandment would not be broken. They even regulated how many steps could be taken on the Sabbath. They developed an expansive web of regulations that over time became part of the letter of the law. There were so many, many laws to remember and follow. Impossible. I remember hearing from Daryl that the Pharisees would keep a box called a phylactery attached to their foreheads. These contained writings of the various laws. The Pharisees felt that they could be made right with God through their own power, by strictly following the laws, or at least by having an outward appearance that they did. Their intent may have been to honor God, but they missed the mark. In Matthew 23, verses 27 to 28, we read Jesus' opinion of their practice. "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious laws, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." It is quite clear that Jesus did not approve. I recently purchased from a yard sale some Christian jewelry, and one piece has a small little box that can be opened. I wonder if it was supposed to be a representation of a phylactery. It is okay that the box is tiny, because with Jesus, the laws have been reduced to just two. When asked by the Pharisees what was the most important law, Jesus stated that it was to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. How simple. How profound. This does not negate the Ten Commandments that are found in Exodus, by any means. Instead, it frees us to focus on Christ and to follow his example of how to love. And if we truly follow these two commandments that were found in our scripture lesson today, all the rest will fall into place. Following these commandments draws us closer to Jesus. As I pray, I know that Christ will continue to help me to be less like a Pharisee, less concerned with an outward appearance of holiness, and more like Christ with a heart for love. Another stop on this journey began with a children's story that Daryl told one Sunday. It may have been a story for the children, but it impacted how I view not only myself, but those around me. Daryl was speaking to the children about repentance. He emphasized that the act of repentance was simply doing a 180. It was making a choice to no longer be moving away from God, but towards God. This idea was further unpacked during the following talkback session. No matter where we are or what our life looks like at the time, at that moment when we decide to turn back and begin moving towards God, he accepts us and welcomes us into his arms. He does not wait for us to have it all together. A lens can filter out different colors or hues. It can have a dramatic impact on how a picture will look. From the moment that we make a decision to turn back towards God, he now sees us through the lens of Christ's sacrifice. All of our failings and impurities are filtered out. It is by Jesus' choice to take our sins on his shoulders that we are made clean. By his grace, we are made whole. As I continued to think of this analogy of repentance, an image came to mind. Maybe we have all walked that same straight line away from God. Where on that line we are when we decide to turn back to God may be closer or farther from him for each one of us. And our lives, our activities, our behaviors at that point can look very different. And that is okay, because we have not been left alone. The Comforter, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit is there for each one of us. Are there aspects of my life that should be changed? Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to show and direct me. It is by his grace that he accepts me as I am. By his Holy Spirit, I am convicted as to how to grow and change to be more in his likeness. My role is to continue in my desire to move closer to God, to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength. It is the same for all who want to draw closer to God, and it is the Holy Spirit whose job it is to convict if or what changes are needed, not mine. My job is to love, to encourage, and to show grace, just as love, encouragement, and grace has been and continues to be shown to me. Each of us may be nearer or farther from God when we make that turn back or repent. Some of us may require more fine-tuning than others to be more like his image. I take assurance from the words of Paul to the Philippians. I believe they are equally true for us as they were for them. In Philippians 1:6, we read, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." This certainly simplifies my struggle to reconcile the worldview to my faith. I don't need to worry about the do's and don'ts. I can trust the Holy Spirit to continue his good work. His grace is sufficient for each one of us. My responsibility is to love my neighbor as I love myself. This has been an exciting and liberating time for me. It continues to be a journey of faith. With what I have learned in the past year, I wish I could go back to that country church as it was. I feel like I have had those swing doors swung open for me. They have been swung open by God's grace and by Christ's amazing love. And beyond those doors is a God whose only desire is for me to keep walking towards him, who sees me perfect and without blemish through the lens of the love and grace of Christ, and with the Holy Spirit continuing to strive with me to mold me and change me into his image. If there is anyone here that is still looking at those swing doors in your life and is unsure what to encounter on the other side, I would encourage you to join with me on this adventure. It is profound, yet simple. Trust the one who invites us all on the journey. He won't let you fall.